It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up on Central Time, we'll hear from a beer writer about the craft beer boom in Wisconsin and if we're reaching a possible saturation point.
First, Republicans and House Speaker Paul Ryan face an uphill battle in Congress as they scramble to get enough votes to pass their plan to replace the Affordable Care Act. Despite intense negotiations, passage of the bill is currently still up in the air and now delayed until at least tomorrow.
A lot is riding on this moment, as Ryan pointed out earlier this week.
This is our chance and this is our moment. It's a big moment, and I think our members are beginning to appreciate just what kind of a rendezvous with destiny we have right here.
Craig Gilbert joins us now. He's the Washington Bureau Chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Craig, welcome back to Central Time.
Nice to be with you.
So in a recent article out just this morning, you called this vote today on the GOP health care plan an acid test for Paul Ryan. How would you define what's at stake for him?
Well, not just for him, but obviously for his party and for President Trump. But in his case, I mean, he is the speaker. He's less than 2 years into his speakership, but now this is where the rubber really meets the road, because Republicans have unified control of Washington, and it's the first time in 10 years, the first time for a lot of Republicans in Congress that they've actually been accountable and had real power. And they've spent the last several years repealing Obamacare symbolically. Now they have to do it for real and provide a real-life replacement. It's proving to be really tough. He has despite majorities in both chambers, there's no Republican consensus on what the replacement to Obamacare should look like. So he has a massive lift on his hands when it comes to bringing his caucus together on this, on a hugely complicated issue amid kind of this thorny thicket of legislative rules and parliamentary procedures that kind of push the bill in one way in the House to get a House Republican majority, and push the bill in another way in the Senate to get a Senate Republican majority.
And what about the Speaker's relationship with the President, with Donald Trump?
Well, I think it's been striking that so far it's been as good as it has been. It was really important for him to have the president buying in to the bill, even though on paper it doesn't look like it's necessarily something that would have popped out of Trump's head, given the way he campaigned on some of these issues. It's more of a traditional Republican conservative approach. Trump was more of a populist, but Trump has a huge amount at stake. This is the item that tees up the whole Republican agenda in Washington for the next 2 years. And if they stumble out of the box, it's just devastating to not only to the mechanics of legislating going forward, but it's devastating sort of symbolically for what the signal it sends about the ability of Republicans to govern.
Right. You had a quote in your article of an expert saying that maybe the whole GOP agenda would need to be sort of rethought out if this doesn't pass. What is the thinking behind that kind of idea?
Well, there's several pieces to that. One is just the kind of optics and, you know, confidence and solidarity and the implications for all those things. If this fails, I mean, it would just be, you know, the possibility of Republican world just devolving into finger-pointing and acrimony, but also it's just the mechanics of getting things passed. For example, the next big-ticket item after health care is tax reform, which is, again, hugely ambitious on a really difficult issue. But tax reform, they can't really do tax reform the way they want to do tax reform without the tax cuts they're proposing in the Obamacare replacement bill. So if the Obamacare replacement bill dissolves, then that really completely undermines their tax agenda. They've just got huge problems going forward from a mechanical point of view, from a legislative point of view, and from a political point of view.
And here in Ryan's home state, the GOP bill is not polling so well. According to a Marquette University Law School poll that came out just yesterday, 28% of registered voters support Republican replacement of the Affordable Care Act, and 60% support either keeping it as is or improving it. What do those numbers say right now?
That it's not popular. As unpopular as Obamacare seemed to be at times in the last several years, it actually has become more popular with President Obama's departure from office. And now people are focusing on, you know, how to replace it and what the system would look like if you started taking out the benefits and subsidies in Obamacare. And it's kind of frightening to a lot of people. The Republican bill, you know, has winners and losers, and the winners tend to be people higher up the income scale, and the losers tend to be people further down the income scale. And even it has geographic implications. In Wisconsin, if you look at the subsidies and tax credits in the Republican bill that are designed to help people on Obamacare pay for their premiums, the reductions in that kind of assistance would be much steeper in certain parts of Wisconsin than other parts. They would actually be much steeper in northern and western Wisconsin, including areas that voted pretty strongly for Donald Trump, than they would be in parts of southern Wisconsin. So in some cases, the impacts are a little bit perverse sounding, because the kinds of older, rural, blue-collar voters that came in so strongly for Donald Trump, in many cases, those are the kinds of people, if they are enrolled in Obamacare, they would stand to lose the most. And that's, I think that's sobering for some Republican lawmakers, and the national polling reflects that, too. There was a new national poll out today that showed really kind of opposition by large margins to the Republican bill.
We're talking with Craig Gilbert right now, Washington Bureau Chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, looking at a pending House vote on the Republican replacement to the Affordable Care Act. And as we were talking about earlier, Craig, Republicans hold the majority in Congress right now, but looking specifically at the House especially, it doesn't mean there's consensus in what's happening. Can you talk us through sort of the different factions of Republicans and what they're thinking of, what their attitudes are toward this bill as it stands today?
So one thing that's really emerged in the last few days is the kind of clout of what's called the House Freedom Caucus, which these are this is sort of like the absolute right flank of the Republican House caucus. And even though they're not large in number, we're talking about 30 people, they are mostly no votes right now, and that has given them leverage in a body where Republicans can only afford to lose about 20 or 21 or 22 Republican votes, because no Democrats are voting for this. So it gives a small faction a lot of power. The problem is, as the leadership has been making concessions to its right flank in order to get a bill passed, it endangers support from a larger number of more moderate and mainstream conservatives who are concerned about the kinds of things we've been talking about. They're concerned about, you know, the impact on premiums, the impact on subsidies, and so now that they're talking about, for example, possibly dismantling some of the mandates in Obamacare in terms of what insurance plans have to offer, some of the more popular aspects of Obamacare, it really kind of endangers the Republican bill from an entirely different direction. And finally, I would just say on top of that, the map is different in the Senate than it is in the House. And so as this bill moves to the right in the House, it becomes a bigger lift in the Senate, where there are more Republican moderates and where they can actually afford even fewer defections. Since there are only 52 Republican senators, that means if you lose three of them, the bill is dead.
And again, this vote is looking likely to come down later today. As it stands, as far as we know, are the votes there for Paul Ryan?
They are not there right now. Now, you know, it's going to depend on how successful President Trump is in persuading enough members of this right-wing faction in the House Republican caucus to come on board, and then what price is paid to bring them on board and the reaction to that among more moderate members. And layering on top of all that are some really complicated parliamentary issues affecting, you know, what kinds of provisions in the bill require 50 votes in the Senate and what kinds require 60 votes in the Senate. So the House could end up succeeding in the end in passing a bill that still may be a political non-starter in the Senate, would have to be changed for political reasons, but they could also end up passing a bill that would run into parliamentary trouble in the Senate because the original purpose of crafting the House bill the way it was to avoid having to meet the 60-vote threshold that we think of because of the filibuster rule in the Senate. A bill has to be designed in certain ways to do that, and that may all be out the window as this bill undergoes some changes. So it's a lot of chaos, a lot of complexity.
It's going to be an interesting day. Craig, thanks for joining us.
Nice to be with you.
That was Craig Gilbert, Washington Bureau Chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, talking about the delayed vote to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act and why a lot is riding on it for Republicans.